Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to the book of Philippians. We're almost done with the book. I'm praying about where the Lord would have us to go next. And so if you would pray with me, we want to instruct you in God's Word, and we want to have God's direction as far as the lessons that should be shared from His Word with you. And so I appreciate your prayers for me as we look, as we continue. We have just a few more weeks remaining, and we'll be done with the book of Philippians, and we'll be moving on to another passage of Scripture. I want to read today Philippians chapter 4, just verses 10 through 13, as we consider this subject, peace in regard to things. Peace in regard to things. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. By the way, the word careful there and the word care is actually the word phroneo, which means to think about, right? To consider. So your last thinking of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also very thoughtful. That's the idea behind that word there, rather than careful, but very thoughtful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and I pray that you would do a work in our hearts today. Lord, as we consider these verses of Scripture, I pray that we might understand how important it is for us to have a biblical philosophy of material things. Help us to realize that we're not to live our lives pursuing and seeking and rushing after the things of this world, but rather we are to pursue you. We are to have our heart's affections focused upon thee, because you alone are the one that can strengthen us. We ask, dear Father, that you might do a work of grace in our hearts today as we consider this subject of peace in regard to things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the peace that passeth all understanding not only transforms people in the local church, but it also transforms the relationships that we have with each other and gives assurance and peace of mind. You know, this whole chapter has dealt with this matter of peace. We saw this in verse 2 where he was trying to help two ladies within the church to get along with each other and to cause others to be involved in the getting of these two ladies back together and working out all the difficulties, because it's important that we enjoy the peace of God in the local church. Amen? He goes on in verse 7 and says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ when we pray for each other." That's what's in the previous verse. When we're faithful in praying and supporting each other in supplication and prayer and intercession, the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the promise. He's not finished, though. He told us in verses 8 and 9 that there are certain things that we're to think on. And in verse 9 he says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do," and what will happen? Notice this. This is important. "And the God of peace shall be with you." In both references, God is referred to in relationship to the peace that passeth all understanding. The God of peace. Do you know that we serve a God of peace? And do you know that He purchased peace through the blood work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, that you might be able to participate in His peace? Well, what about peace in regard to things? He uses a different word here to talk about this peace. The word content comes up in these verses. Being content with whatsoever things that we have. And the word content is interesting because it can be translated peace of heart regarding things. Contentment. Peace of heart regarding things. You know, Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, was a man that was known as being extremely humble. He had his old pickup truck. When he became a multimillionaire, he didn't go out and buy himself the fanciest car he could get. He didn't go out and buy himself a private jet. He told his wife, "We're going to be the same people we were before we had a dollar. We're going to be the same people." And his practice was to drive his pickup truck and visit some of the outlying Walmart stores in Arkansas. He would drive 150 miles in his old pickup. He would walk in his overalls, just like anybody else. He would walk in there and he'd walk down the aisles with his hands in his pocket, just checking things out. And then he says, "I need to find out where the manager is." And so the manager would come up because he was testing to see how he was going to be treated, dressed in overalls, older fella. And if the manager was kind of, you know, "Get out of my way, I'm a busy individual," that guy got written up big time. But he said, "Most times I found that my managers were extremely kind and considerate, not knowing that Wall on the sign, Walmart, stood for my last name, Walton. They didn't know who I was, and I wanted it that way. I wanted to make sure that they were treating folks right, that the stores were clean and neat, and they were following, and so that's why I would just drive and check." Of course, Walmarts are everywhere. They're overseas, and so it wasn't possible when he was alive for him to visit all of them. But he kept that stable, humble attitude, even though he was a multimillionaire. He kept the same attitude he had when he and his wife just had a dollar between them, and they were just making ends meet. Now, folks, I don't know that Sam Walton was a believer in Christ, but I want to tell you something. Sometimes unbelievers do better about these things than believers do. And it ought not to be. Amen? It ought not to be. It seems like that in the church today, we have this idea that we can serve God but pursue the things of this world with abandon. And that's not true. Notice in our passage here what Paul is saying here. He said, you ought to have peace in your heart about things. You ought to have a biblical philosophy about material things. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me, or your thinking of me, hath flourished again, wherein ye also were thoughtful. But ye lacked opportunity. Now what had happened? The church at Philippi had sent a gift, and they sent Epaphroditus. Two things. One was the money, and one was a person from the local church. They sent him all the way to Rome with a gift to give to Paul in prison there. And it overwhelmed Paul's heart that they had given. Now, he wanted them to do that all along, but the opportunity to be able to send Epaphroditus with the offering finally came around. They delivered it, and he was extremely thankful for their thoughtfulness. With their what? Their things. All right? What they had to give. Paul needed the help. They reached out. And not only help in the form of money, but help in the form of a faithful servant who just came to encourage Paul. Paul, I'm sure, didn't get a whole lot of visitors. And so to have this leader in the local church of Philippi to come all the way to Rome to visit him was extremely special. And he was thanking them for their thoughtfulness with their things. He said, you lacked opportunity before, now you've done well. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, I want you to stop for just a moment and get what Paul is saying. He said, if the gift had never arrived and Epaphras had never arrived, I would have been fine. How many times do we feel like we're not going to be fine? All right? We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. This world right now is in that very position. We're living in a world today where people are scrambling to make it. We've got things that are missing off the shelves. A lot of the sugar-free stuff that I normally would get are not on the shelves. I'm not going to make it. I'll make it. You make do. Some people don't know how to make do. How many of you grew up in a household where you knew how to make do with what you had? All right? Got a lot of hands out there. You just make do. Isn't that an interesting expression? Make do. To me, you put those two words, really, they don't make a lot of sense going together, but we know what it means, right? We know what it means. You put a little extra water in the soup to make it go a little bit further, all right? And you do things that you don't throw away what doesn't get eaten. You put it in the refrigerator and you eat leftovers for several days, all right? Now, some leftovers are better the second day, all right? I kind of like my spaghetti and lasagnas, and Italian foods always seem to taste better the second day. Had a little time to marinate. But there are some things that just don't taste that well the second day. All right? For instance, a dried donut. All right? How many of you are still eating your donuts from the donut sale from Friday? All right? I see Harley still eating her donuts. We have 3 dozen sitting in there that Brenda called the family and said, your donuts are fresh, come get them. They didn't. They're still sitting in the office, all right? Now, I would imagine if they come in on Monday to pick up their donuts, they're not going to be as excited as they would have been if they had come in Friday morning when Mr. Whitney brought in the load of donuts and they were hot. They were warm, all right? And there were a line of parents, they were coming in here, and oh, these are still warm, they're so good. Have you ever ate a 6-day-old donut? Even Krispy Kreme, they dry out, the crust starts flaking off the outside edge, you bite into it, and it just goes flat. All right? It just doesn't taste the same as it does when it comes out of the bakery oven, goes into the box, and you eat it warm, right? So some leftovers, my point is this, some leftovers are really good the next few days. Some leftovers, not so good. Make do with what you have. I grew up in a home where we didn't throw anything away. I mean, we didn't throw clothes away. We didn't throw anything away. And I can remember being embarrassed beyond embarrassment when my underwear was being used to wash a car. And Dad's out there with the tidy whities just washing the car up. And I said, those look familiar. Yep. We didn't throw it. It got a hole in it. It got stitched. If it had multiple holes, it got passed on to the rag pile. All right? And it got used there. Anybody want to admit that they grew up in a home like that? Come on now, get those hands up out there. All right, we got a few people that did that, yeah. Now, make do. Paul is saying here, if Epaphroditus had not come with the offering, I would have been content. I would have been at peace with the situation. That's what contentment is. It's being at peace with whatever situation you are in. We live in a world that doesn't know what contentment means. Have no idea what contentment means. There are some that do, but the vast majority do not. They're always pursuing something else. I gotta have this. I gotta have that because it's new. Wait a minute. Do you have to have it? Can you live without it? I stand at the door with my Bible class and I check to make sure everybody's got their Bible with them. And some of them will say, well, I've got my Chromebook. I said, what if the internet goes down? Go get your Bible. You see what I can do? When the internet goes off, I still have my Bible. All right? Well, I don't have my Bible today because, my Chromebook doesn't work or my phone doesn't work. I've got my Bible right here. No excuse. All right? No excuse. We live in a world where we think, now get this, we think we won't be happy unless we have the latest. And for some people, they won't be happy. But you know what will happen? Once they get it, they won't be happy. Because the next gizmo is going to come around, right? I remember growing up in the 70s where the two-tone shoes came back in from the 50s. Anybody remember that time? You had the brown patent leather with the white. And I remember Mom bought us a pair. I got to wear them first. Roger got them after me. I don't know who got them after that. But we had the two-toned. No. What was that?
Missy.
Yeah, Missy. I hate to say this, but that's true. No. We had the two-tone shoes, and I remember in the 70s walking around in those. All right? Now, if I showed up to church wearing those same two-tone shoes today, you would think, Pastor's been living under the bridge over in Pensacola, and somebody had an extra pair, because nobody wears those anymore. All right? You know, there's just certain things that change with time. Remember the wide watch bands from the 70s? Boy, everybody had to have one of those. And the wider it was, the more cool you were. Or the wider the belt. Or the bell-bottom pants that we all grew up with back in the 60s and the 70s, which are coming back in again today. It's all the time fluctuating and changing, and we've just got to have this. But I'll tell you something that's true about all of it. It will not make you happy. It won't make you happy. You'll be happy temporarily. And then you'll say, oh, those are so last year. I can't wear that. That's so last year. All right? Paul said, you know what? If Epaphroditus had not come all the way from Philippi and did not have the offering with him, I would have been content. I would have been at peace with the situation. Now notice this. Verse 11. For I have learned. I've learned something. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be at peace with the situation. I'm substituting the definition of that word content. At peace with the situation. Have you learned that? Have I learned that? You know, it is so difficult in this world to not want everything that's going on in this world, because it's made so accessible to us all. I mean, people who come to this country from other countries are overwhelmed by, you have all this? You have grocery stores? The size of this? You go to a Walmart, you don't see buildings this big in other countries. Like our Walmart and Pace, with all the different things that you can choose from. And we'll walk down the row. Oh, I can't believe it. Don't say this. They don't have my favorite cereal today. How do we get? We'll walk past, and we're looking for something special, and they don't have any. What's wrong with us? Let's drop you off on a third world country, all right? Out in the savannah, there is no Walmart. There's no Dollar General. There's no Dollar Tree. There's no Family Dollar. What will you do? I was talking to the kids in my history class. We were talking about how that soldiering during colonial times, whenever they would go, they didn't have access to food just coming in on the truck. All right, here's the MREs for the guys. Help yourself, take a bunch. No. Said, all right, you're on food detail tonight. You know what that meant? You went out and fished, and you went out and hunted for what you're going to have. What if they didn't find anything? You didn't eat. Now, our world would go crazy today. We don't understand what that is. Like the girl said, where do eggs come from? And a girl raised her hand, Winn-Dixie.
No. Where do eggs come from? Winn-Dixie. All right? Eggs don't come from Winn-Dixie. They sell them because they come from chickens. All right? But we're living in a world today of people that don't make these connections anymore. And they cannot be content. They cannot have peace with the situation because I'm deprived. Would you learn something like Paul did? Paul said, I've learned this over a period of years, and he explains it to us. I know how to abound. I know how to be. He learned this experience, and he describes it to us for all of us to see. Six things that I want to share with you very quickly in 15 minutes. You said, it's not possible, Pastor. You can't do that, and we're going to move. Number one, notice this, please. I know, verse 12, both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Now, that's interesting. This word abased means to learn humility, to be brought to a place of utter destitution. Humility, humiliated. That's what he's saying. I know I've been there and I've also abounded. You think about Paul. Paul stood before kings and communicated the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not very many of us will ever be called upon to communicate with a king or a leader the truth of Jesus Christ, but Paul did. But Paul also sat by a campfire after being shipwrecked and got bit by a snake, and God spared his life. And then all of a sudden, the people start crying out, these are gods! And he had to straighten them out there. He'd been on both sides of the ledger. Both sides of the ledger, and he said, I'm content with whatever God gives. I'm content. He goes on to two more, three and four. He says, I know how to be full, and I know how to be hungry. Now, I don't know how many of you have really ever experienced hunger. I know what fasting, waiting for a test can do. I have 12-hour fast that I have to do from time to time. I have to do 8-hour fast from time to time when I have blood screening for diabetes and so forth like that. And I want to tell you something. If you have diabetes and you can't eat and you have to wait until the test, and then when you get down there to the testing place, we're running about an hour or two behind, and you have to wait, and your blood sugar is going down, down, down. I mean, it can get frightening at that moment. Paul says, I know how to be full, and I know how to be hungry. I've experienced both of those. All of us probably have at one time or another. But he said, I've learned from that experience of being full and being hungry to be what? At peace with whatever situation God has called contentment. And then 5 and 6, he repeats a word that he used up above in the first part of verse 12. He says, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, the idea of suffer there means a prolonged period of time of need. But I know how to abound, but I also have known what it's like to live in a prolonged period of time of needing constantly. And what I've learned is this, I can be content. I can be content. Deliverance from dependence on things and circumstances with complete dependence upon Christ is what we call peace. Peace. There are three descriptive concepts that Paul has touched on in these verses of Scripture. And it appears that he says in verse 10, but I rejoiced. I rejoiced. When the Lord brought Epaphroditus, brought the offering, I rejoiced in that moment. You know, even though you may not get what you want, when it does come, what does that cause us to do? Our hearts are filled with rejoicing. But do we have that same kind of joy when we don't get what we want? Some people are professional pouters. I mean, they just, I didn't get what I wanted. And their face curls all up. Okay? Dr. Hobbs used to call it the birdie perch. Okay? Okay, the head goes back, the neck comes down, chin comes out, and the lip. What's wrong with you? Sometimes we'll have a kid come into the office or whatever. My teacher sent me to the office. Uh-oh, what did you do?
I didn't do anything.
All right. The birdie perch. Yeah. What is it about us that we feel that God owes us every minute of every waking hour of the day, everything that we want? Where does that come from? Does that come out of the Bible? No. Paul says, I have abounded and I have suffered need. But I rejoice. I rejoice in what God does and with what God withholds. Because I know there's a purpose. What happens whenever God withholds something that you desperately want? Well, it'll do one or two things. One, you'll run to the world and satisfy your need, or you'll wait on the Lord. And the Bible says, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. We are so unbiblical so many times in the choices and decisions that we make that we don't even know we're being unbiblical. We're simply pursuing things to make me happy. Let me ask you this morning, what does it take to make you happy? Well, let me just get started here. Boom, 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 boom. We start nailing off all the things that make us happy. All right? In the morning, pot of coffee. I happen to like coffee in the morning. It's good stuff. But what happens if you can't have coffee? Coffee maker breaks. Oh, I can't believe this. It's going to be a rotten day. It's already starting off with a bang. All right? Really? Your whole life has just been destroyed because you couldn't pour up one cup of coffee and slug it down. All right? Your happiness is destroyed. You see what we've done? We've allowed circumstances of life to dictate whether we're happy or not. And that's not how Christians live. The joy of the Lord is our strength, the Bible says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, what? Rejoice in the Lord always, even when the coffee pot breaks. And I drive up to Dunkin' Donuts and the window says, we're closed today, lacking help. Apply within. Yeah, let me in. I'll make my own coffee, you know. We allow the circumstances of life to take away our peace. And that shouldn't happen, Christian. Should not happen. I've learned, Paul says, I've learned this, to be content. Look at it again. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And then he crowns it with verse 13. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let me just say this. How many times has that been quoted at halftime? Okay? All right, we're down by 17. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Or we're down in the last quarter and we cry out, I can do all things. Wait a minute. It's not an incantation. All right? It's not something that you can put on a prayer wheel and slap it and spin it. Hey, we're praying. We're going to get the win. No, put that out of your mind, please. What's he talking about in context here? What's the context of this verse? Which usually gets taken out of context. What has he just talked about? He's talked about suffering want and yet having abounding. Sometimes full, sometimes hungry. I can do all things through Christ. In other words, in the situation of abounding, I can do all things through Christ. In the situation of suffering need, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's the standard, Christian? that's laid out for us here in this verse 13. What's the standard of life? Living life every day, every hour, the grind of going through life. What am I to remember? That God, His Son, has strengthened me to do whatever I need to do for His glory. Why is it? We say, well, I can't do that. I can't do that because I don't have this. I can't do that because I don't have that. You know, it's wonderful that you can have all these wonderful things that are provided today. But I've lived in times past. Mr. Woods knows about this, and Mrs. Pepper knows I've been in education for some time. We didn't have all the fancy gizmos when we first started teaching. But you know what we did? We still taught kids. Oh, you can't teach kids today without all that technology. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Jesus did it. Jesus did it on the shores of Galilee. He didn't have PowerPoint. He didn't have one flickering like we have this morning. All right? I don't know what's going on with my little... I see it flickering behind me from time to time. But you know what? We can still have church without this. We can still have church. Why? Because Christ is the one who strengthens us. Christ, whatsoever things we have, let's be content. Whatever state I'm in, I have learned to be content. Why is it that it takes so long for some people to learn? Why is it so hard? Because we don't want to learn. We don't want to learn. We want to be like the world. There's no restrictions on them. I want to be just like the world. Go ahead, fool. You'll get the consequences that the world gets too. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. I can do all things, whatever state I'm in, full, hungry, abounding, not abounding, in all those situations, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What an important lesson. This is peace in regard to things. Peace in regard to things. Things will not bring happiness to your life. Learn this lesson, boys and girls, young people that are here today. Having things will not make you happy. All you have to do is look at the world. You can pursue the wealth and the things of this world, and you can get it. You can get it. But it will not make you happy. And I want to tell you something. Happiness is more important than things. We have a long life here upon this earth for most. A long life. How do you want to live that life? Do you want to live it constantly pursuing things? I got to find this. I got to find that. I got to have this. Oh, we'll be so happy if we'll just have this. No, you won't. That's a fool's errand. Paul said, I have experienced this and I've learned something from it. That in whatsoever state I am, to be content. In other words, to be at peace with whatever situation I am in. Would you bow your heads, please? Close your eyes. I want you to examine your heart for just a moment. I want you to examine your heart. I have done this in my own heart and life, preparing for this sermon today. Sometimes it's easy to say, amen, when a preacher says something, but it's a whole other thing to live it. Would you examine your heart this morning before God and ask yourself the question, what makes me happy? And if it's something rather than someone, being Jesus Christ, then you're pursuing the wrong things and you will not have peace. Peace is a gift of God. It's not something you go out and find. It's just God supplying that to His children through His Holy Spirit. Would you ask yourself, what makes you happy this morning? Are you truly happy in Jesus Christ, rejoicing in Him? Whether the money comes in like you want it to, whether it goes out too fast like you don't want it to,
I'm just content because God has brought peace to my life. Please examine yourself honestly today and then cry out to God and say, Lord, I've got a problem. I'm plugging in all kinds of things and people and so forth to make my life happy. And I'm not happy. You need to be delivered from that pursuit. And you need to be taught by the Scriptures how to be content, how to accept the peace that passeth all understanding from the hand of Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you for this very rich passage of Scripture. Lord, the examples are all around us, the wrecks of humanity, of those that pursued things without holding back, totally abandoned themselves to finding these things that would make them happy. And yet, there are so many that take their own lives. There are so many that die totally unhappy. And they had everything that this world could offer. But the one that they did not have was Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that there's not a person in this room or listening by way of radio that's going to walk away from this message without examining their heart to see whether they belong to you. Lord, if there's someone here without Christ, just pursuing without abandon the life of this world, Lord, help them to stop and to consider the glorious Savior, Jesus Christ, and turn from their sin pursuit and know what it means to be contented, to have peace in every situation of life. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would do a powerful work in our hearts today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.